from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's me in for Bernstein and Holmes this Labor Day. I am Rami Makhlouf. Sean Sears on the other side of the glass. And man, what a glorious, glorious Labor Day in the city of Chicago. Yeah, you probably got the day off and it's beautiful out, but that's not even what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, it is day one of week one for the NFL and your Chicago Bears, and the Cubs are in a playoff race in September? What? None of us saw this coming, and we got a jam-packed show for you. Sean Sears is on the other side of the glass. You can always get in on the show, 312-644-6767. Might have time to squeeze in some calls. Always time for your texts at that number as well. And we're going to have all of that covered throughout the afternoon. Matthew Collar, the author of Football Is a Numbers Game, he'll be here to start the Bears and NFL talk coming up at 9:20. That will continue with Herb Howard, Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs, coming up at 11, and much, much more throughout the show. Like I said, talking Cubs, talking Bears. It's Labor Day. We appreciate you turning on the score while you're on your way to the cookout, or you're just sitting out in the backyard and you got us on and just enjoying what I, like I said, is a glorious, glorious day in this city. When the weather is this good, you have the day off from work. It's week one of the NFL and the Cubs are in a playoff race. What the hell more could you ask for? I hope you have... Thank you. Thank you, Sean. I hope you have a cold beer in your hand and you have something marinating to throw in the grill later today after you had yourself a terrific breakfast. But we'll start with the Chicago Cubs, who, man, now I'm fully in. Now I am fully, fully in on this baseball team. If you've heard me here, I've been on the score quite a bit in the last few weeks. I appreciate that. I've been saying my hopes are hanging by a thread. I've been saying one day I'm in, one day I'm out. Hell, one inning I'm in, one inning I'm out, the way that comeback went the other day. It's been a roller coaster, man, but they are doing it. They are doing it. 14-1 over the Nationals yesterday. That caps an 8-1 road trip, gives the Cubs a 6-game winning streak. They are now 5 games above 500 for the first time since May 21st.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Oh, there's a chance. There's a chance for this baseball team. I know that the question a lot of Cubs fans are asking out there to themselves, and that I'm going to ask to you right now at 312-644-6767 is this sustainable? Is this something that the Cubs can keep doing through the month of September? And if not, grab a playoff spot, make the best push for a playoff spot that they possibly could. You can't control what the Mets and the Braves are going to do in front of you. But can they keep this run going and make the strongest push possible for a playoff position? They scored 99 runs in their last 10 games. That's the most since 1901, when they scored 104 runs in a 10-game span. It was their best month in strikeout rate this month at 20%. Their line drive rate was up. Ground ball rate was down. They also had 66 two-out RBIs, 18 more than they had in April, just 8 fewer than they had in May and June combined. Like, the offense just went bonkers in this month, man. The starting pitching has been pretty good all season long. the bullpen has gotten things on track, been good for the last, I don't know, 2.5, 3 months. But the offense is what we were all waiting for to click when it came to this baseball team. And they just went absolutely insane. And that's the part, more than any other aspect or facet of this baseball team, that I find myself asking that question: is this sustainable through September, and if necessary, beyond? 312-644-6767. And the real difference with the offense in the month of August was the 7, 8, 9 hitters. They had a 74 weighted runs created plus, 24th in baseball, going into August. In August, those 7, 8, 9 slots led all of baseball with, listen to this, Sean, are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm so ready for this.
Again, they had a 74 weighted runs created plus going into August. In August, 158.
That'll play, man.
That'll do it. That'll do it. Yeah, that's more than a double in their weighted runs created plus. That's 20 points better than any team's 7, 8, 9 in the lineup in any month this season. They're 20 points better than any team's 7, 8, 9 in any month this season.
And then for context, those who aren't familiar with weighted runs creation, 100 is considered good. So anything above 100 is amazing. So 58 points above 100, you're cooking with some grease,
man. Insane. That is absolutely insane. And namely, those have been, for the most part, in those 7, 8, 9 slots, it's been PCA. It's been, Miguel Amaya. I almost called him Willie Peralta for some reason. I have no idea why that name popped into my head. Miguel Amaya and Dansby Swanson. And so, and especially with, for me, with two of those guys, and that's Amaya and PCA, you got to look at that and go, can they keep this up, or can they keep up something close to what we saw from those two in September? As far as Dansby Swanson goes, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not shocked or surprised that Dansby Swanson can have a good month. As a matter of fact, I was counting on a few more of them than what we've gotten out of Dansby Swanson to this point. So him waking up is just, in my eyes, him waking up and starting to earn that big paycheck that they gave him when they brought him over from Atlanta. But as far as PCA and Miguel Amaya, I don't know if they can keep doing what they've been doing. But here's the bright side. First of all, they might not have to, because they won by 13 runs yesterday, okay? If they scored 12 less runs, they still win the baseball game. So I don't necessarily, and the way that the pitching, the starting pitching and now the bullpen has performed over the last few months, you don't need the offense to necessarily be this good. You don't have to win every game by 13 runs. Like, it's cool, it's great when you can score 10-plus runs, as they've done a couple times now in the last week. But you don't always have to score that many runs. So if there's a little bit of a drop-off, I have enough faith in our pitching that you can still win games at a pretty good clip if there's a drop-off from the offense. I think the pitching can carry a little bit more of the load. But even if those guys were to drop off a little bit, PCA, Amaya, and Dansby Swanson, let's say he regresses back to what we saw in the first 4 months of the season, even if those guys regress a little bit, there's three guys, if not four, that there's room for improvement when you look at the back of their baseball card to what they did in August. And that's Paredes, who seems to have started to wake up a little bit in these last two games. Michael Busch, who was well below his average in slug in the month of August. And then you got Happ and Cody Bellinger. And Ian Happ has been hitting. I think he's on a hit. He's got like a 7-game hit streak. Am I right about that?
I think it might be
8 games now after yesterday. But he just hasn't had the slug. And Cody Bellinger didn't have the slug. And up until the end of August, wasn't getting on base even at the clip that he's capable of doing, that the back of his baseball card says he is capable of doing. So if there is a step back for Paredes, for Miguel Amaya, what is wrong with me? For Miguel Amaya, PCA, and Dansby Swanson, if those four guys sort of come back to their average, move up back to their average in terms of both their on-base percentage, but mostly their slugging percentage, this offense should be able to produce at somewhat close to a clip of what they did in August. And like I said, even if they don't, you should still be able to win some baseball games with the pitching staff that this team has put together over the course of the season and sort of finding their guys. But maybe the thing that gives me the most hope and optimism that this is something the Cubs can sustain into September and hopefully beyond is their manager. And for those of you not familiar with me, I much of my career was spent in Milwaukee. Don't worry, I'm one of you, tried and true, born and raised Chicago guy, Bears, okay, Cubs, okay? You don't have to worry. This isn't somebody behind enemy lines infiltrating your city. No, I'm one of you. But I was there for the tenure, the majority of Craig Counsell's tenure as the Cubs manager. And there was two things I liked more, and I was good with the move. I love Rossi, but I was good with the move when they showed him the door to make room for Craig Counsell. And there was two main reasons why. One, I love his handling of a pitching staff and a bullpen. I just think he has his finger on the pulse of that, as well as any manager in all of baseball. And the second one was what his teams do late in the season. His teams always, for whatever reason, seem to be ready to make some kind of push. If they're up, they're able to make some kind of push to sort of put some distance between themselves and the rest of the pack. And if they're behind in a playoff race, they seem to always know how to make that push and get back in the picture, if not grab a playoff spot themselves. And if you don't believe me, the numbers bear it out. 9 seasons.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As the manager of the Brewers, he led them to the playoffs 5 times. All other managers have a combined 4 appearances from 1970 to 2014 when talking about the Brewers. Also in his 9 seasons, he had a winning percentage in September of 580, a jump from the rest of the year with a winning percentage of 520. His September record is 138-103 in those 9 seasons. And his teams have scored more runs than allowed in 7 of those 9 Septembers. He's won 86 games for 6 full seasons straight. Their best stretch since the 78-83 seasons, the Brewers' best stretch, that is. And he was the most successful manager in Brewers history by victories and postseason appearances. 5 in the past 6 seasons. Division titles in 18, 21, and 23. And I don't need to tell Cubs fans what happened in 18 when they made that push to beat the Cubs in game 163 and take the division. The dude is just good at having his teams ready for late season, high pressure baseball and making that push for a playoff spot. And I think it's a couple of things that he does real well. First of all, and I hope there's less of this in the future when it comes to the Cubs, but with the Brewers, he had a different team basically every year, and especially in his bullpen and his bench And so he was kind of learning his team as the season went on. And it felt like by August, he had a really good feel for who his guys were, who's the right guy to come out in which situation from the bullpen, who's the right bat to call off the bench in a given situation when you need a hit. Craig Counsell had to relearn his team basically every season he was in Milwaukee. And by August, he kind of had it locked in. Like, oh, okay, I can go to this guy in a high-pressure sixth, seventh-inning situation. I can go to this guy if I need a left-handed bat off the bench in a given situation. And there is an element of that here with the Cubs, being his first year as the manager and in the organization and with this roster. Now, things in future years should be more stable here than they were in Milwaukee. Right, Sean?
I would hope so, right?
Okay, yeah, like, exactly.
That had to be the draw to come to Chicago, is the idea that you're going to have money, hopefully a little more than the Brewers, and hopefully the same guys each year, roughly the same guys.
You don't have to trade your best players before you pay them every time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you get to keep Josh Hader.
Exactly.
Here, you know?
You got that going for you. So I hope that this first element that I'm talking about is not something that we need to lean on in the future. I hope Craig Counsell has familiarity with his roster and with his players, and we don't have to go through that learning phase in the first 2 or 3 months of the season as he's trying to figure out who's best for what situation. But the other part is, and this is just part of coaching, just part of managing across the board in every sport, I thought it was one of Bill Belichick's greatest strengths in football that his teams were always playing their best football in weeks 15, 16, 17, going into the playoffs. And we saw what that resulted in over the course of their dynasty. Craig Counsell has a little bit of that in terms of just having his team, first of all, when things aren't going good. And I remember a quote from early in the season saying that he told his guys, hey, we're going to get punched in the mouth. That's going to happen. How we react to it is sort of going to dictate how this season goes. To have his guys all on the same page, all pointed in the right direction, all believing, especially when things aren't going great, is an incredible ability for any manager or any coach in any sport. And having your team primed and ready to play their best baseball late in the season and going into a postseason is an incredible ability for any manager to have. So when I look at this, I do think for a number of reasons that it is sustainable. But none of this exists in a vacuum or a bubble, right? We do got to look at the other teams that they're competing with. And right now, it's the Mets ahead of the Cubs by, let me just double check, make sure I have this right, 2 games, and the Braves holding that last wild card spot and up on the Cubs by 3 games. And you look at the remaining schedules of those 3 teams. The Mets have the 3rd strongest remaining schedule in all of baseball. And they still have 7 with the Phillies, 3 with the Brewers. What is this? 3, that's a very small print. 3 with the Braves and 3 with the Boston Red Sox. That's a lot of good baseball teams, a lot of games left against a lot of good baseball teams on their schedule. The Braves also don't have it easy so far this year, or for the rest of this year, I should say.
No, they'll run into the Dodgers at some point here. I think they've got
4 with the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm, they'll run into the Mets again, and then the Royals as well, too, are better.
Yep. Meanwhile, the Cubs have the Dodgers, they do have 3 with the Phillies, and 3 with the Yankees, but then they got 3 with the Rockies, 3 with the A's. Still 4 more left with the Nationals. The Pirates come to town. That starts later today. Then they got the Reds for 3. Like, this is, it's right there in front of them for the taking when you look at what these 3 teams have in front of them for the month of September. And everything I just laid out about guys on the offense who there's still room for improvement and regressing in a positive way to what they're capable of doing, the pitching should be able to be sustainable and hold up, Craig Counsell doing what he's doing. And then you look at the strength of schedule for these teams in September, it's there for the taking for the Cubs.
It definitely is. And you look at like the teams like the Braves and the Mets right now, they're probably like the Mets are probably playing at like their highest level right now, right?
Yes.
Like you're not expecting more.
That'll happen when you're playing the White Sox.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's easy.
They'll bring out the best.
Not sweating a lot of those games.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. But then you look at the Braves too, are just not a ton of pitching. They've got some good offense, but not some of the bats aren't quite having the season they're having. They've picked up some guys in the offseason or at the trade deadline, but like the Cubs right now, there's potential for them to get even better than they've been playing, and they just are starting to get a little healthier. They just got Jordan Wicks to come back here. That's a big part of their rotation. There's a lot of things trending in the right direction for the Cubs, where a lot of the Braves and the Mets right now, they're just trying to keep status quo, and I think that's going to bode well for them.
I looked last night at Fangraphs, and I think they had the Cubs playoff chances at something like 7 point something.
Yeah, they've been hovering around like 7 and 8%.
And I'm not one to argue with mathematical models. Like, I never understood people who did or who got offended by that. Like, oh, ESPN projected us to get 8 wins.
Tough to argue with the math, huh?
They hate us. No, dude, it's just math. Like, the math can't hate you. You know what I mean? They use the same projection model for every team. Math can't hate you. It's just math. You know, it might be wrong, but they don't hate you. And I'm not going to argue with any sort of mathematical model, but 7% feels low to me, Sean. Does that feel low to you, given everything I just laid out, or is that me sort of painting the picture in a positive way to make it seem like it's better than a 7% chance?
Like, I don't think it really matters. The Cubs had a 93% chance of making the playoffs this time last year, and they didn't make
Fair.
It. So, like,
Fair.
I mean, you know, it's all about how you're playing at the end here, and the Cubs are, I mean, they're the hottest team in baseball right now.
We shall see. We shall see. It's just, like I said, just what an amazing, amazing day.
Yeah, man.
Week one in the NFL. Cubs in a playoff race. It's Labor Day. You couldn't ask for any better weather. By the way, tonight the Cubs are back home to take on the Pirates. Pre-game coverage is coming up at 6:05 with first pitch at 6:40 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Quick break, then we'll change gears. Talk some football, ladies and gentlemen. The author of Football is a Numbers Game, Matthew Collar, will join me, Rami Makhlouf, in for Bernstein and Holmes right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Are you comfortable in the pocket as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do anything and everything that the team needs me to do. In the pocket, out of the pocket. Whatever the case may be, keepers, play fakes, play actions, handoffs, under center, gun, sprint outs, you name it.
Bears.
There's Caleb Williams going all Bubba Gump with our afternoon show, listing off all the different things he can do at the quarterback position. I am Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes this afternoon. I got to chill out, man. Everything's just got me way too amped. Hearing that, just hearing a quarterback who's confident and can do everything from the position. I was talking Cubs in the last segment. They're back in the playoff race. Our Chicago Bears insider, Mark Grody, who I hosted the show on Friday, by the way, the afternoon show on Friday with him, by the way, just a great dude. Like, if you hear Grody on the air and you're like, he seems like a really good dude, you're right. Like, he's a great dude and had a lot of fun co-hosting the show with him. But he tweeted out, you can follow him at Grody Sports, the real stuff starts today for the Bears. The team is officially in game mode. I'll be reporting from Hallis Hall. I got goosebumps. I'm not kidding. When I read that from Mark Grody, I got goosebumps. It's day one. It's week one of the NFL. Somebody I know is just as fired up as I am about that. I used to work with this guy. He would just walk around the halls greeting people by saying football. Just a good football to you today. He is Matthew Collar, the author of Football is a Numbers Game. He also runs the Purple Insider. Matthew, my friend, how are you this afternoon? Morning, I guess.
I am doing great. Happy football to you. It has been a long, long, long off season, and I am ready. You know, when he said keepers, I hit the tackle dummy that I have here. I was like, all right, yeah, let's go.
And you're not even a Bears fan. You just love football lingo. Any football lingo you could throw to Matthew Collar, he loves it. Matthew, let me start off with that guy that we just heard from. And a lot of NFL markets asking this right now. A lot of NFL fan bases asking this right now. You're based in Minnesota. What is realistic to expect from a rookie quarterback, and more specifically the Chicago situation, a rookie quarterback who's 1-1 in the draft and is referred to as a generational talent? What's fair for us to expect from a rookie quarterback, Matthew Collar?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about what we saw from Jordan Love last year, and I know Jordan Love had a couple of years of development. Mm-hmm. Packers people do talk about that sometimes, about how their quarterbacks develop. But I think with Caleb Williams, we could see a similar season if it works out for him, where the first half of the season has some hiccups and he's trying to just figure out how to play in the NFL. But if it clicks in, then he can be absolutely fantastic down the stretch. I didn't cover every practice like your reporters there, but mm-hmm. I did watch him in the preseason games, and it's a really special physical skill set to be as creative as he is, and how it can look like, all right, he's going to have to throw this ball. Okay, he's not going to throw that ball away. He's going to hit a 25-yard pass, you know, down the field. And I think his creativity when things break down is Mahomesian. It is on the level of someone like Josh Allen. And there aren't many people that you can ever say have the ability to torque their body the way that he does, put the juice on the ball, even when he isn't anywhere close to having a solid platform to throw from. The thing that I did notice he's going to have to figure out is how to play on time and in rhythm. Because even Patrick Mahomes, by the numbers, 65-70% of his plays are just normal plays. But it's the other 30% that makes him win the Super Bowl all the time with the crazy throws and everything else. But most of the time in the NFL, you have to do the right footwork. You have to hit the back foot and deliver the ball on time. And he's got receivers that are going to be open for him. And I think a situation that he walks into that's probably one of the best a number one pick has ever dropped into, thanks to the Carolina Panthers. So I think it sets up for him to be competitive right away, hit some stumbling blocks as all rookies do, but have a chance with especially the receivers there in the system to have one of the better rookie seasons we've had from a quarterback. I mean, of course, CJ Stroud last year, but maybe something like that.
Matthew Collar, author of Football is a Numbers Game, my guest here on the Score Midday Show. Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes. I'm glad you brought up the Jordan Love comparison. I said something on the station last week, Matthew, that, you know, in this time of year and being part of this fan base and getting this quarterback right, I have to keep asking myself, like, are you getting carried away? Is that a crazy thing to think or to say out loud into a microphone to tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people? And it's this: I think it's possible that Caleb Williams could be the best quarterback in this division by season's end. And now when I say that, I don't mean he'll have the best numbers, but you brought up Jordan Love, who the first 9 weeks of last season, kind of not great. You know, there were flashes, but he wasn't consistently very good. But week 10, it looked like he started to find his footing. And by week 17, a lot of people might have said, if I needed to win a football game today, I would take that guy over Jared Goff or anybody else who is in the division at the time. Could we see a similar progression from Caleb Williams in his rookie year, where he's not the best day one of week one, but come week 17, if I ask you, you need one quarterback from the NFC North to win you a game, who is it? Could that answer be Caleb Williams?
I'm sorry, I'm caught up on you thinking you have hundreds of thousands of people listening to you right now.
It's a big city. It's a big city. I don't know how many people are listening. Yeah, it's Labor Day. Everybody's in their car.
I hundreds of thousands. Yeah. Okay. Sure. But to your point, I mean, in maybe a normal division, I would say, yeah, of course. But this is another factor of the way that the Chicago Bears built their team leading up to this moment, was tearing it all down to the screws and then rebuilding it with the plan to draft. I don't think they knew they were going to get Caleb Williams, but draft in this draft to, you know, go to another level, because the division is so incredibly difficult. And, you know, the Vikings are thinking about this as well, about, you know, next year and how they're going to catch up. When you have the Lions, I think with Jared Goff that he's the most underappreciated great quarterback of the last 10 years. He has four times led top five offenses, and people just act like he's a good game manager, or it's just like some sad sack that lucked into a great situation. But I think that he's not Caleb Williams like for his playmaking. It's not exciting, and we all want Mahomes, but he is the ultimate, like, don't make mistakes, deliver the ball on time. He's got a great arm, all those things. And so until we see Caleb Williams lead a top offense, then the other guys are going to, you know, be ahead of him with Jordan Love and Jared Goff. And we'll see what, you know, we get from Sam Darnold here. But I think by the end of the season, you could say over the next 3 years that Caleb Williams is going to be the best, because he is the most gifted of the quarterbacks. Even as much as Jordan Love is a tremendous talent, I think Williams is even higher than that. But also at the same time, he hasn't played a game yet. Let's not go completely crazy. Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl. He's been to an NFC Championship. I think we're going to have to, you know, see it first. But as far as the actual talent goes and the way the roster's been built, I think Ryan Poles has done an incredible job there of putting together a supporting cast that is ready to help him win right away. And the entire way that they've rebuilt it has set him up for that immediate success where, just for example, Sam Darnold goes to the New York Jets. The team is horrendous. They fire their coach after 1 year, and it's just a complete mess. And he never gets to, you know, have a situation like Caleb Williams has. And I think that that does matter for the success of a young quarterback.
I was talking with Matthew Collar here, author of Football is a Numbers Game. Get it wherever you get books. Great, great football book if you like to learn about the sport and some of the numbers within it. But I was looking at this football team, Matthew, and looking at this division, and you mentioned the job Ryan Poles has done. I think he very intentionally has put this team in a position to win games with a rookie quarterback. When you look at the core of this team, a lot of veterans. It's a young roster, but in terms of their linebackers, their offensive line, the receivers and skill position players that they put around Caleb Williams are mostly veterans and guys that came over in trades or free agent or were drafted even before Ryan Poles got here. Is this a team that can make some noise this year, or is this kind of a growing year for the Bears and sort of still figuring out what they got?
I think that entirely depends on just how far along Caleb Williams is, because the rest of the roster could be very competitive right away. The way that they've been able to rebuild the defense, the Montez Sweat deal, I thought was brilliant. I mean, you saw even when they played the Vikings last year, just how different the defense was after getting Montez Sweat. It almost felt like it didn't just bring them a really good player, that there was a trickle-down effect that he drew attention away, and you saw other players starting to thrive. And there also was a little bit of swag, I think, to the defense after he showed up. Like, yeah, we got a monster here, so now we could do some other things that maybe they couldn't do before when they had kind of an anonymous defensive line for a bit there. But as far as what Ryan Poles has done, I think the key to the NFL, because there's a salary cap and because careers are short, teams are always rising and falling, is to understand your windows. And it's almost become kind of a cliche at this point. Oh, they're in their winning window. It's Super Bowl or bust, that kind of thing. But from a front office perspective, to understand that this is a good time to go get a Montez Sweat. This is a good time to spend the money in free agency. It's a good time to bring in a Keenan Allen, because you're trying to do everything you can for this young quarterback to get him acclimated to the league. And what's better than a guy who's one of the best route runners that are out there? And I think that they've understood that they can win right away, and they shouldn't just have all young players and have the team stink around their young quarterback. And we also see quarterbacks by year two, year three. Mahomes was in the AFC Championship and was one score away from the Super Bowl in year two. I mean, it happens quick, right? And I think that everything is set up for them to be a competitive team this year, but really next year, that they want to be on the doorstep, knocking on the door already to be a Super Bowl team by next season. And I think Poles has done a tremendous job setting them up to be there.
Can I ask you, I was reading a CBS Sports article the other day, and they were ranking the whole division position by position, including the head coaches. And they had Matt Eberflus fourth, which I couldn't argue with. And that really terrifies me, because you were just talking about how the Jets broke Sam Darnold with, you know, firing their head coach 1 year into his career. And the Bears, that's a familiar playbook for Bears fans, Matthew, when you were describing that. They've done that with their last few quarterbacks. So Flus not being the head coach, like the right head coach for this team, terrifies me. I know you don't cover this team on a day-to-day basis, but you're covering this division on a day-to-day basis. What are your impressions of him as a head coach? Could he be the guy, or are they going to be looking for the guy in a year from now?
Well, I was certainly impressed with how the team continued to battle last year. And one of the things that I always look for is, think about when Joe Judge, for example, I remember that their ownership had come out and said in New York, oh, well, you know, we're going to stick with Joe Judge. We're rebuilding, whatever. And then the team completely gave up on him. The guy lost his mind, was doing crazy press conferences at the end of his time there, and they just had to move on because they had no other choice. And I think with Eberflus, the way that things were going last year at the beginning of the season, Fields is melting down. They're showing Taylor Swift every other play because they're getting killed by the Chiefs by 50 points or whatever. And that was the opportunity for the team to fall apart around Matt Eberflus and for him to be fired and them to get a young quarterback guru coach. But instead, they battled their butts off, and including the game that they won against the Vikings, they played incredibly hard. The Jalen Johnson thing got resolved with his contract, and being able to keep him around was a big deal for them. And I think you saw some of the schematics of Matt Eberflus, because you can't scheme nothing if you don't have good players. But right. Once they started to get some good players, you started to see it. So I think that there should be a little more confidence. Anytime a team is really bad when a coach takes over, there's going to be skepticism for that coach and how he handles now expectations, the ups and downs of what comes along with this season. Now that people are expecting Caleb Williams to come in and be great right away and expecting his defense to be great after progress last year, I think this is a defining year for Matt Eberflus, because right now I think that there's enough there to say he can coach a defense to being very dangerous. Can he coach a team like this that is now built in a very good way to, you know, competing for one of the tougher divisions? That I think we're going to have to see before we can say much more about him.
In a minute or less, how do you see the NFC North shaking out, Matthew Collar?
You know, the Bears and Vikings is tough to figure out, because the Vikings, I think, have, you know, a good roster from top to bottom and good coaching. But it's still Sam Darnold at quarterback. I just don't know how many games a rookie quarterback's going to win with Caleb Williams. But, I mean, Lions, Packers, Vikings, and Bears is kind of how I would play that out. But I could definitely see the Bears being better than the Vikings if Darnold struggles or if he gets banged up or something like that. But it's right now it's Lions by a lot, and then everybody else after that.
That's Matthew Collar, author of Football is a Numbers Game, also runs a Purple Insider podcast and website, and you can follow him for all sorts of insights on the sport of football at Matthew Collar. Matthew, a good football and Labor Day to you, sir.
You too. Miss you, buddy. We'll talk soon.
I do miss you as well. There is Matthew Collar, and he joins me on the Circa Sports Hotline, easy for me to say, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, just every once in a while, football makes me feel like a bad person. And I'll explain exactly what I'm talking about right after this. Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We all know it's a lot on his plate, just how he stays calm with everything. Just his urge to get better. I can't say that enough. You could tell he wants to be great, and that's what you look for. There's going to be ups and downs throughout the season. There's going to be adversity for sure. But he never gets too high, never gets too low.
That's Bears running back DeAndre Swift talking about QB1, Caleb Williams. I'm Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes. Sean Sears on the other side of the glass. Keep the Bears talk going with Herb Howard of It's the Bigs, Bears beat reporter for them. He's coming up at 11 o'clock. Some Bears news broke this morning. They named their captains for the 2024 season. It'll be DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Mercedes Lewis, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Jalen Johnson, and Kevin Byard. And QB Caleb Williams, rookie year, gets the C patch there on his jersey. And I'm all for it. I am all for anything Bears here on day one of week one of the NFL season. And every once in a while, Sean, I don't know if you ever have an experience like this. The way I react to football news makes me feel like a bad person. It makes me feel like, you know, the old angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder type of cliche. I was getting ready to do the afternoon show with Grody here on The Score on Friday. And I was just, you know, scrolling Twitter. It was a few minutes before the show. I was just seeing if I could get any last minute tidbits, maybe some breaking news I didn't want to miss before the show started. And I saw a tweet from Adam Schefter. And it said Chiefs wide receiver Hollywood Brown dealing with an AC joint sprain. Head coach Andy Reid says he likely won't be ready for the opener on Thursday. Right. Pretty basic tweet. Right. Concerning some NFL news. And my first reaction was, this man is hurt. Right. This is a human being in pain, you know, who's putting his body on the line to play this sport, to entertain me and idiots like me across America on a week to week basis. And my first thought wasn't, oh, man, that's too bad for Hollywood Brown. I hope he gets better. All I saw in that tweet was the opener on Thursday. Like that was all I saw in that tweet, because it wasn't the opener next Thursday. It wasn't the opener 2 weeks from now. It wasn't the opener on September 5th, the way you would write that if it was written weeks ago. You know what I mean? It was, he's going to be out for the opener on Thursday. Like, we are less than 1 week. That's what that said to me when I read that. That's all that said to me was, we are less than 1 week away from football, ladies and gentlemen. And then the other voice, so the one voice went, ooh, football. And the other voice went, what's wrong with you? That's a man in pain. That's a human being in pain who got hurt trying to entertain you idiots. And all you think about, all you can think about is, ooh, we're 6 days away from football. That's pretty awesome. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad, bad person, Sean Sears. Do you ever have an experience like that?
I admit, when you said Hollywood Brown was out, my initial thought was, I wonder who his backup is for fantasy. So I'm right there with you.
Doesn't it feel like, and Ranji came on with Grody and I on Friday and brought this up. I don't know if the calendar is any different this year from like any other NFL year, from the end of the preseason to the start of the regular season. Maybe it's because the Bears' last preseason game was on a Thursday, so that added like 3 days to the wait where they would usually play on a Sunday. But it just, or maybe it's just that, you know, we're all so excited about Caleb Williams and a team that could actually maybe do something this year. It feels like forever, dude. We're 6 days away now from the Bears playing, and it still feels like we'll never, ever get there. You know what I mean? Like, it's just dragging on.
It does feel like it's been a minute, right?
I need football, dude. I need, like, meaningful, like, competitive.
Hard Knocks isn't doing it for you?
Like, every Tuesday, it will, like...
It will quiet it
until, I don't know, I wake up Wednesday morning, and then I'm like, no more football! It feels like forever, dude. And I'm telling you right now, and I said this the other day when I was hosting the afternoon show with Grody, for my mental health, for my mental state, I need this to be like meaningful, competitive, quality football for the Chicago Bears. If they don't win the Super Bowl, okay. If they don't make the playoffs, but it looks a certain way along the way, I'll be like, all right, at least you gave us like something to look forward to in the future, but I need this to be good. And I know a lot of people listening to me right now feel the same way. Like, this goes beyond sports. Like, I need this to be good. Every other facet and aspect of my life is going to be better if the Bears are good this year.
That's so true. It's right? So much better. Like, fall is so much better when the Bears are at least enjoyable to watch, right?
I got my birthday is in the fall. My girl's birthday is in the fall. We're going to take a little trip later on this month. I'm so much happier. Everything is like the birds sing louder. I think life is so much better when the Bears are good and competitive and meaningful. And I need it. I need it badly.
I for your sake and for everyone else's, I hope that happens for you.
Tune in.
I feel good. I feel good about it.
I do too. And maybe I don't know if we're just convincing ourselves of that, but we're feeling.
I mean, whatever's going to make us feel better.
Right? Exactly. In the moment, why not do that to ourselves, right? If it all comes crashing down later, at least we were happy.
That's
on
our future Rami problem, right?
Exactly.
It's present Rami. We're just trying to make you happy.
Be happy on September 2nd. Let the rest shake out later in the fall and in the winter. But let's all be happy and optimistic here on September 2nd. And you can tune in starting at 5:30 tomorrow morning as Mully and Hall will be getting you set for the start of the Bears season. This Sunday, the Score will have in-depth coverage for you all week long of the Week 1 matchup against the Titans. And by the way, we're going to get the view from Tennessee a little later on in the show when we talk with Chase McCabe of 102.5 The Game. out there in Nashville, Tennessee. But coming up right after this, keep the Bears talk going. Herb Howard, Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs and the host of the Herb and Two podcast. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, in for Bernstein and Holmes right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.